The gates to the Rose Garden are now open. Welcome to my world. You are listening to Talk That Talk with Danielle Moneyham, a reflective conversation where I share the lessons I've learned on this journey called life. I don't have all the answers, but I do have plenty of questions. My name is Danielle Moneyham, and this is my love letter to the world, where I let my soul speak. Let's talk. Hey, it is Danielle. Welcome back to the show. I'm super excited about today's guest because we are going to talk about something very near and dear to my heart, as in my name is Danielle Moneyham, and today we are talking money. And I am so excited to introduce my guest, Mr. Rodney K. Lamb. Hello, Rodney.
Hey, how you doing, Danielle?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for coming and leading this talk today on money, because I got a lot of questions about money, and I hear that you are an expert.
That's my favorite word thing to say. If you have a question, I have an answer.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Mr. Rodney K. Lamb.
Well, about 16 years ago, Danielle, I entered the world of finance. And that was through tax profession specifically. And as a contractor, I was working for big firms and small firms. And I just saw people getting messed over all the time, getting burned for the tax refunds, not knowing and signing away that full refund. And it was just so much scam going on. And there just wasn't any honesty or truth in the business. And as a contractor, there was nothing I could do. And so me and my wife decided, hey, let's fight back by opening our own firm. Let's go and make it our personal mission to put truth back in the business, one client at a time. And that's how Rodney Lamb and Truth and Deuce was birthed.
Putting truth back into the business, one client at a time. I think yes, that's ma'am. Brilliant. So what is Truth and Deuce Financial?
Truth and Deuce Financial is a financial firm. We have 16 different financial services under 7 different financial branches. And so it is a financial firm. We believe in a holistic approach to finance because, you know, those banners should be under one roof. We don't believe that you should go to 7 different professionals to get these services. And so Truth and Deuce allows the client to really be able to hone all of those financial services under one roof. And we're proud to have started in 2008. We've now amassed 5 offices throughout the country and 5 states. And, you know, we have a large company. It's grown now. We're a big corporation now. We have at least 46 contractors working for us throughout the United States. But I'm most proud of our credentials. We have an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. And what I was most proud of is 0 financial complaints in 10 years, over 10 years. And so they asked me and said, that was phenomenal, Rodney. What did you do to have clients in 32 states and no complaints? And my response was simple. Good news travels just as fast as bad news. And so that's truth induced.
Your wife and yourself took your... So does your wife share that same background, or did you just come to her one day with a dream and was like, let us build this moving forward? How did you and your wife decide to... create this together?
It's funny because my wife is an accountant by trade, and so we married accounting and taxes. That's a perfect marriage, and you know, but that just happened. But honestly, she was earning 6 figures working for the Mavericks at the time, actually, and she was doing well in her career, and she actually stopped her career and believed in my vision. And when you get married, it's nothing more powerful than going after a goal with your spouse when they believe. And that's what happened with us. She connected with my vision. She stopped a 6-figure job and believed. And we've been able to grow that company now to a corporation, offering our service to over 1,600 clients across this country. And so we're very proud. But that it was more of her just believing in the vision, believing in her husband's ability to make this work with her background as well, because she handles the accounting branch of our company. And so we were able to merge both of our skills in the corporate world to create this company. And then, of course, over the years, I've added on a few other things. that allows me to offer other services like credit. We would be bonded for credit services, so we're able to offer credit services to clients as well. And so it just continues to grow based on the demand.
Now, I love the idea of this perfect marriage, perfect merge. Like you said, the tax and accounting, these backgrounds come together, make sense to provide financial services for people who may need them. But a lot of times, people, number one, don't even know that these services exist or that they are needed because we don't know what a money coach is. We don't know what a financial coach is. We don't know about financial literacy. Why is it important to have a money coach?
You know, Danielle, I truly believe that you cannot rise higher than the information you possess. And I'll say that again, you cannot rise higher than the information you possess. You only know what you know. And so individuals just don't know. They have not been informed, let alone educated about this information. And so I don't expect an individual to venture into the unknown because people just don't know. Why is a money coach necessary? It's simple. People don't understand money nor how to use it, Danielle. They really don't. I was sharing with you earlier that there's a statistic that 50% of what a person purchases is either unwanted or unneeded. And I challenge anyone that's listening to this recording to go look at your bank statements for last month and go make sure that you needed 50% of what you bought and that you wanted that you needed 50% of what you bought. And then you'll see that this statistic is very true because 3,000 different marketing cues hit our eyes every time we leave the house. And so you're being sold on a level, on a subconscious level that we're not even aware of. And so you say, why a money coach? Because people just don't know how to spend their money, let alone to even understand a spending decision. And we want people to understand that because money is much more than math, Danielle. It's much more than math. I pose that question to everyone that I speak to. If I told you money isn't mathematical, what would you say? And so it's information like that why you need a money coach. But just to be dry and uncut to answer your question, to inform people on information that they didn't even know.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about money. Because everybody has a different relationship with money. And as we grow up, as we either have roommates, get married, get into partnerships, get into businesses, any agreement where there is an exchange of money, we see that relationships can change. What do they say? Like the number one cause of divorce is money. Never go into business with your friends because money. They say money is the root of all evil. So what is money? You asked me what was money, so I'm going to ask you, Rodney, what is money?
Money itself is just a medium of exchange. And that's what everyone needs to understand. This is just something we exchange. We put the value on it. And if you will notice, money has a different value depending on the location. Depending on where you spend it, it has a different value. So money is nothing more than a medium of exchange. And people should not be focusing on what money is, but people should be understanding what is financial literacy and what is the emotions of money. And see, that's what I, financial coaching and money coaching, teach. We teach people how to combat the three plagues that's plaguing this country right now. And that's consumerism, indebtedness, and excessive taxation. People are falling victim to these plagues every day, despite whether you make money or not. I would tell anyone, you can spend money, you can earn money, but can you manage money? So when you ask what money is, it's not money that needs to be understood. I think it's more financial literacy, and people need to understand that financial literacy is much more than math. And when you understand the emotions of money, when you understand the emotional decisions that need to occur when you're spending money, then to answer your question, people have a better understanding of money from the aspect of exchanging it for value, because you'll have a better understanding of what is value. And because value is not what a product or thing does, it's what it does for you. And so this is why you hear some people say, money means nothing to me. And then you have some people who say, money is everything. But we need it to survive. And so it's not money, that medium of exchange that people need to understand more. I believe that it's financial literacy and understand the emotions of money. Just like every time you spend money, Danielle, do you realize there's a spending decision that needs to occur?
Yep.
There are three things that need to occur. One decision needs to be utilization. You need to see, is this a product or service that I'm going to utilize? And just like the credit bureaus, Rodney liked to suggest 30% utilization before you spend your money on it. Don't buy that bathing suit you're going to use one time and it will get no more utilization. That right there should stop.
Okay. Next is affordability. Let's stay on utilization because I want to go through each of these. I want to receive these. Let's say utilization. I buy this bathing suit for this one trip, but I post the picture and I get a lot of social media attention. So I use the swimming suit once, but the reward is more than just me wearing it once. Isn't it like the memories, the picture? Like, where does that come in? Because utilization is real. And if we say, like, right, I'm only going to wear it once, it's not worth it. Well, what about all of the other rewards?
Right. And that's where, when I say this comes into the spending decision only. This is based on the spending decision. This is part of it. There are several factors that play into why you bought it. That's when the emotions come in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you tell me that, I would tell you that was a good marketing move and you should write it off under your business taxes and get a business deduction if your goal was to get more attention on your business. That's how it was suggested in that case. But if you bought it for your personal self, then according to you, is it at a value? Then you should have purchased that bathing suit from an emotional savings account, not from your checking account. And that's what a money coach teaches and organizes an individual on how to spend properly. Because I can teach an individual, Danielle, the fastest way to rich is spending. And so you have to spend proper in order to move. And this is how the system of capitalism works.
Okay, so utilization was one. What's the next one? I'm going to walk through these. So utilization for my spending decision. One was the utilization.
Second is affordability.
Okay.
And when I speak of affordability, I speak of the future of being affordability. If I buy this bathing suit right now, will it take away from my rent? And so is this purchase affordable? Not only are we going to utilize it, is it affordable? And so affordability deals with the future of the purchase. Will it hurt my future if I purchase it right now? And then finally, we're going to go into the availability. And when we say availability, I don't mean do they have 30 bathing suits available. What I mean is this money presently available right now for spending? And how should I categorize the purchase? And if you made a decision based on utilization, affordability, and availability, then you would know that when you got all of those social media hits, this wasn't to increase my business, which brought in more advertising. And I could write this off as an advertising expense in my business. And that decision is made before you even swipe your card.
Yeah.
This is the purpose of a money coach. This is what money coach teach you how to do. Because prior to school and college, no one taught you that.
Whew. Now, that was really good, actionable advice that we can think about. You also mentioned, like, the emotional aspects of money. So now that we know kind of how we can think differently before we spend, let's now talk about the emotions behind money, specifically in our community as a Black people. I am from Chicago in the north. You are from Texas in the south. Dallas, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So our experiences are different across the country, but we still have a shared experience of being Black in America. So talk to me about like the history of black money in America and how our emotions are really tied into this idea of money and wealth and accumulation.
Wow, that is a beautiful question. And I will attack it separately because it's such a vague question. But when you look at our history at first with money, we don't have a good dealing. You didn't learn about money in your home. Your parents didn't teach you about money, the average black person. And I'm going to just say American right now, because I want you to understand this money conversation, it goes far beyond the racial lines. Mm-hmm. And so, believe me, it's statistically more whites in this country than blacks. So please know more of them are affected than us.
Yes.
And so when you look at the reality of it, when do you learn about money, Danielle? You don't learn it at the dinner table. You don't learn it in high school. If you don't master in it or pay for the knowledge in college, you won't learn it in college. So when do you get this information? When you're out here bumping your head. And the first one that I spoke of is the three plagues. Those are the emotions. Consumerism. That's what we share. Consumerism is purchasing things that are unwanted or unneeded. Just purchasing them for purchase sake. Or what we like to say, you were sold. And most of us were sold on Gucci instead of Wrangler. Most of us were sold on what type of hair product you put on your hair. And so these products are being marketed to you. So consumerism is our first problem. We share that, me and you. Mm-hmm. The only difference between me and you is that I decided to put a plan and a spending plan and track that spending plan so that I killed my consumerism while yours still lurks in you. That's one emotion that's pulling. The second emotion, of course, is indebtedness. Danielle, we live in a time where if you had $0, you still can go borrow some money. And if you in the hole, you still can go borrow some money. We're in a time where credit is so easy to get that it is so easy that the average adult starts out $30,000 in debt. And when you start out in debt like that, that emotion just forces you to do what? Go get more debt. And that's what a person does. Your home, that's a 30-year debt that you're agreeing to for the next 30 years, and most people don't realize that. And what a money coach does is teach you how to circumvent that emotion and plan that 30-year debt to less than 9 years. It'll be yours, owned. And we can now circumvent that money that wasn't being used and start to use it to compound. And that's another emotion that we need to teach people, because people who understand compound interest collect it. People who don't pay it, Danielle. And most people are paying compound interest when they are borrowing money and being caught in the emotion of indebtedness. And last but not least, of course, is excessive taxation. And that's my specialty. That's what the letters are behind my name for. And I can assure you, you are being taxed 21 times and you don't even know it. And that's the average tax-paying American. And you would think you only file your taxes one time a year. But again, I share with everyone, taxes is a once-a-year service that only takes minutes. How can you prepare for something that happens once a year and only takes minutes with zero information about it, Danielle? It is impossible. And so excessive taxation continues to plague people right now today, and they don't even know it. And they just changed the tax laws, and nobody is seeking this information. And so this is not about a color. This is seriously about those who are informed and those who are uninformed. And that's what my goal is today, to get the information out through the people so that they can say, I know better. And I truly believe when you know better, you do better.
I definitely agree with you in terms of access to the information and like people who have information are able to make better decisions. I want to talk about, though, the history of, and I was going to also ask you, were there differences in terms of spending behavior across the board? Because you work with people across the country. Did you see differences in spending behavior from race to race? Because I'm sure, like you said, everybody in this country is dealing with these three plagues. Like, it doesn't matter what race you are, what age you are, what demographic, people deal with these three plagues in this country. So first question is, like, do you see any differences when you're dealing with your clients of different backgrounds? Like, are there patterns that everybody shares? But the second part, to get to, like, the need for the Black community to start to have these conversations is starting behind. So with Black people in America, in terms of wealth accumulation, it's hard to talk about money from an asset-based perspective when you have generationally been in debt. So while some people, you know what I mean? Like, for some people, they met debt when they lost a job. Then it was like, oh my God, I accrued all of this credit card debt. That's for some people's debt story. For other people's debt story, your family has always been in debt. Your grandma was always broke. Your grandfather was always broke. Your dad never had money and had poor credit. Your mama put bills in your name when you were a kid. So now that you are an adult, it's hard to pretend that those two people who have arrived at debt have the same understanding on how to address debt.
Man, that's a great question. And I have a better answer for you, so you can really see. I asked this question across the country, Danielle, from California to New York. What's the difference between the rich, the poor, and the middle class? And I get such a variety of answers. And then I give my opinion. And to answer your question, I want to give my opinion. And this answer is going to answer it. You know what the poor do? They just buy stuff. And they buy stuff and they buy stuff. Nothing never comes in as far as income, but they can always buy stuff. And then you have the middle class who purchase liabilities and assume that they're assets. The new house, the new car, but they didn't tell you they built a mountain of credit of debt in the background. And if you didn't know, credit is debt. I want you to understand that. But what do the rich do, Danielle? They purchase assets, but not any particular kind. They purchase an asset that's going to create a passive income that would turn to a cash flow of residual income. This is what they buy. I want you to think about the last thing you bought, if you're listening to this. And did it create a passive income that eventually turned into a cash flow of residual income? The last thing you bought, if it didn't do that, then you weren't spending rich.
Okay, so let's say I got $50.
My answer to your question is, what they know and what they buy, Danielle, that's what separates that. That's why people are there. It's just information. I truly believe if I can change your information, I can change your life, at least financially. And so to answer your question is, all of those people were never informed on what to do, which is more reason why people need a money coach today. Because of the compound, because of the plunder, because of the peon laws. Everybody migrated and left the South. And so, of course, it's going to further push us down. But no one was prepared for the silent war using that quiet weapon, which is called money. And see, you were taught how to spend it. You were taught how to earn it. But you were never taught how to manage it. And this is the problem that we have and we still face today. Money management.
I agree with the money management part. Like, I know it. I fully agree because money management looks different to everybody. But I guess I'm still trying to understand if I'm poor and I have $50.
And what is poor?
If I don't have any income. If I don't have any income, right? So I am not employed and therefore have no income. And I have $50. And I spend $50 on food. That's one choice. If I spend $50 and go buy some drugs that I can flip into more money, that sounds like that person...
You were giving some bad information on how to make money grow.
Because that's what I'm saying. Like, if you are starting from a deficit...
We are perpetuating the wrong information on how to grow money in our community. I totally feel that way. If we would pass down on how to get a DBA, which is less than $50, I could teach you how to have a full business entity, a DBA, a EIN, and a business bank account for that very same $50.
So you're saying that $50, instead of the person who would choose drugs as a way to take that $50 and turn it into income, they could take that $50 and legally establish a business with that same $50.
Yes, ma'am. That's exactly what I'm saying. They were given the wrong information, and the right information could steer them in the right course, or at least make them make a better financial decision for their future.
We talked earlier again about like indebtedness. When it comes to college debt, specifically in the Black community, how does college debt create a barrier to acquiring wealth?
And like you said, acquiring wealth, and so we all are on the same page. Wealth is no more than the accumulation of assets. And I want that to be very clear for all the listeners. Wealth is no more than the accumulation of assets. And so money coaching teaches you to be wealthy right where you are, Danielle. Mm. You don't have to have a high number to be wealthy. And that's the biggest misperception in this country. Most people think you have to have a certain number in order to be considered wealthy. Did you know in order to change your net worth, it's your assets minus your liabilities, not how much cash you have? And so money coaching teaches people wealth right where they are. We teach you how to take what resources you have and use them properly. You see, it's really a money coach is a person who possesses a set of skills and knowledge that allows that person to make an informed decision. And you cannot make a deformed decision unless you have all of the options. And so we want to make sure people have all the options, Danielle. That person didn't have but those two options you named. Give them some more options, they'll make a better financial decision. That's my position.
What are your thoughts on historical, especially in Chicago. I don't know how it is in Dallas, but poor communities not having access to community banks and a lot of people using currency exchanges and Walmart, where you can come pick up Western Union to manage cash flow.
And I truly believe, again, that is a lack of information and a lack of options. They don't know what they can do. It doesn't matter. You can pick a community. You can have, it's a town in Texas with 28 people in it. If you don't have this information, you don't know. Yazoo's Mississippi, you may have never heard of it.
My grandmother is from Yazoo, Mississippi. Thank you.
Some of the most wealthiest, genius mind people in this country, going back 100 years, are from that city. And most people don't even know it.
My grandmother.
And so location doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. It's about your options, your understanding, and that information that you have. I truly believe those things that Western Union, the money cards, those are available for a certain demographic, and they are marketed to that demographic. I think they are a victim of marketing. But they are a victim of marketing with a lack of information. And so it's not necessarily the community resources they need. They definitely need some new information with some new options, because a lot of these banks have piggybacking now. You may not be in the best situation, but you can find a family member who's willing to help you build, and you can piggyback and build at the same time. There's so many options that a money coach may be able to put you in the direction or the information that you just might not know yourself.
Well, do you think that is, so you said it's a victim of marketing. I can see that, especially like you had that number earlier that we consume through all of our senses. I think you said like 3,000 pieces of information.
Yes, 3,000 forms of marketing hit your eyes and your senses before you get to your destination. And they make sure they stop you at red light so you can take them in as well.
Exactly. So I can see all of that, us consuming that and being a victim of that. But what about like the systemic nature behind all of this? Because none of this is an accident. All of these systems, like, so you say they are a victim of marketing. I would argue that they are a victim of systemic financial oppression, and that Black people in this country, Native people in this country, melanated people in this country were never supposed to have equal access to financial resources in this country. And that every time Black people try to get equal access to the information so that they can make better decisions, so that they could in time purchase assets instead of just spending money, laws and communities have been laws have been created, and mobs of people have been formed to keep Black people financially oppressed. So what are your thoughts on the systemic issues that led us here?
I would be a perfect hypocrite if I said that the system is against us because we're Black. I am the perfect example of the American business success story. A Black man who has raised himself from nothing to a corporation, helping 42 country families across this country in 32 different states and 1,600 different clients is this proud. And so you tell me I'm not achieving the American dream. And I know Black men just like me who are getting more than me, who own banks, who own TV shows. And so when you say systemically that it's not available, I say it is available. Now, the information, I agree with you, is being systemically held. It's not being shared. To hear this information that Rodney knows, it usually costs about $2,500 in a room where only 10 people invited. And yeah, like you said, systemically, most of them are not people of color. However, this information is available. But we have been, like you said, systemically taught not to pay for information. We want it for free. And so we can't see the value in paying for some information that has yet to manifest. And so we need to learn to break that chain of thought, stop perpetuating that frame of mind. And systemically, we'll stop shifting or rationalizing the blame when it's really just on the individual. Because I can share some information with you in a few minutes and you won't feel like you're in that category anymore. Because you're going to know that you have access to everything. All of these tax advantages, I share with people all the time. Donald Trump moved a $1 billion loss 20 years into the future. Do you know you can do the same thing, Danielle? That is not a Donald Trump law. You can do the same thing if you had $1 billion to lose. And so we want people to understand systemically is not really the action of possessing these assets. It's really the information that's being compressed. And so that's why I appreciate shows like yours that's really allowing individuals like me who's taking advantage of the system. I got all of the laws that they're giving. I got the money. You know why? I have a payroll for real, Danielle. I had a payroll last year. I had a payroll the last 10 years. And so I have the documentations that they need to give me the free money for payroll protection. I have the documentation that the SBA is requiring for business ownership. But most of the business owners out here don't. They purchase an MLM system and think that they're in business when you're just missing some more information on what it takes to be a business owner. Not the system is against us. And so I really think that most of the problems stem from individuals not putting a plan together, Danielle. If we do things by design instead of happenstance, we would be more successful. Now, that's just as a people. And so we don't plan it out. And if we put a plan together on most of anything that we do, I truly believe it can come together. We are fortunate to live in these times where people of color really are doing well. And it's a lot of people of color doing well. And we can't really just say the system is blocking us out because it's a lot of people of color in the system. It's just a lack of information. And I go back to it. If you allow me to change your information, I can change your life.
So let's talk about that new information as we're moving into the future with money coaching, understanding that when we change our information, pivot the way that we think, the way that we view money, understand our spending decisions, understand the three plagues that are affecting all of us in this country, and understanding the emotion that we have connected to money. Let's talk about money in the future, money 2020 and beyond, especially in this age of coronavirus and where we are right now. It's a lot of change happening with money. What is Bitcoin? What is digital currency? Like, what are your thoughts on the future of paper money?
I'm one of those first adopters. And so psychologically, I know you understand me. I have to be one of the first. And I've been riding the Bitcoin ride or wave for a while. And it's just been that. It's the wave. It's digital currency. It's the future of money. If you look at what's going on right now with this coronavirus, the U.S. government is creating their own digital currency as we speak.
Yes.
And so digital currency is our future. Paper money, fiat money, is no longer anymore.
What is the fiat gold money?
Fiat is meaning that the money is not backed by anything. Before 1973, I think, Richard Nixon, money was backed by gold. Your dollar was backed by gold. In 1973, they stopped backing the money by gold. And so now the money is called fiat because it's not backed by anything. And so that's why the value just diminishes rapidly. And what's going on right now with the financial markets being so scary, that value is rapidly decreasing. And so the world had to come up with something new, especially America, who leads the world in finance. And I think digital currency is what's next. But again, the reason it's so scary, because Bitcoin was created in 2009. It's brand new. It's only 10 years old. But it's used and sold to buy and sell items from only those who accept, Danielle. How many companies do you know accept Bitcoin?
I don't know.
Exactly. Very, very few. So why would I invest in something I can't use? Remember we talked about utilization?
Yes, we did.
That is not a good spending decision according to my utilization statistic. However, if you're investing and you don't plan on touching this money in 5 to 10 years, it is a great investment because we know it's the future. Did you know that the city of Ohio is now using Bitcoin to take tax payments? And it is a lack of information. People don't know what's happening right before their eyes. The country is creating their own version to compete with Bitcoin, which is going to do what? Drive Bitcoin up. And so the value is going to increase for the investors looking for a fast return on investment. And so you ask, what's the future? It really is there, but how many people accept Bitcoin? And for a person who doesn't have these discretionary income to just invest in Bitcoin, we can't take a third of our money that we use for our daily expenses and our monthly expenses and just invest it in hope. And Bitcoin is a blockchain. It has nothing backing it. It's no federal standard behind it. It's just a bunch of peers recording every single transaction that occurs. And so that's not real stable for those who understand finance and money. And so do you put all of your finance in an environment that's unstable? And these are decisions you have to make yourself. And so when you ask, what's the future of money? It's definitely going digital. And people need to figure out and understand digital currency now, because it'd definitely be your future. Cash is going away. This coronavirus has made businesses learn to make money cashless. More Americans are spending less cash right now. If you don't make digital money, you're almost a dinosaur in this country right now, because no one's taking cash. And so it's almost that they're forcing cash out and digital income in. But you have to be also, Danielle, a digital earner. Everybody doesn't receive a direct deposit or ACH. Some people still get a regular check. And that check needs to be stored, what? Digitally.
And that takes me back to that question earlier about the oppressed populations. So I am a millennial. I am a proud millennial. I never carry cash. My mama, it drives her crazy that I never have cash. older generations believe in you need to have cash, you need to keep cash in the house because cash is still very valuable. What about those populations, whether they, when they don't have an online presence, they don't have digital currency, what is going to happen to them? What's going to happen to the people that take their paper check that they wait for the mail person to bring and they take that paper check to the currency exchange? Or what about an older person who is not comfortable with all this technology and they want their cash in the freezer? Or what about Ray Charles? What about our fellow Americans who are blind and they can't see? You know, he had to count the money in singles. Remember the movie?
That's a great question. And I want to let you know, when you look at that, they will be forced. That's your answer.
Oh.
They will be forced to adapt and adjust, just like you are forced to adapt and adjust to this coronavirus right now. Correct?
Yep.
By force, ma'am. This will be done by force. It cannot be done by any other way. And I want you to say on record, this is my opinion.
Yes, absolutely.
I have no statistics backing these words that follow me. These are my opinions. And I truly believe that we'll be forced. I want you to think about this, because you spoke of a certain group.
Yeah.
Mostly the baby boomers and a little Gen X.
Yep.
And so I want you to think about that certain group. Right now, who's being affected by coronavirus?
Exactly.
Baby boomers and the silent. See, there's a generation, the silent generation, that people even forget.
Because we even call them the silent generation. We don't give them no...
My mother-in-law is in the silent generation, and she's still alive.
Yes.
And so we have a whole generation we are forgetting, but those assets are going to be reassigned to who? Millennials.
To who? Yep.
And so once we reassign the assets, we have to understand that this is going to further compress people. This is going to put some people above people and some people below people. We're going to create a new class in America.
Yes, yes.
And it's going to be based on what? Assets.
Full circle moment.
Your digital stamp. Yep. I truly believe that it's going to be based on your digital stamp and your assets. And so... there are two types of people in this country right now, and they did it by force, essentials and non-essentials. It's just that simple. If you're not earning money right now, they are considering you a non-essential, and you are psychologically calling yourself a non-essential.
Mm.
And if you are earning money right now, you are proud, your chest is out, check your social media page. Essential worker, essential employee going to work, they proud. And so... this country is already separated in two factions. But I'm telling you, once they reassign the assets, you're going to have two people, essential employees and essential business owners. And you're going to have to make a choice in this country. What would you rather be, an essential employee or an essential business owner? And Rodney today, as a money coach, is suggesting that you be both if that's your situation. But you definitely want to make sure that you position yourself with a business. It is the future. The only people that will survive in this country outside of working is the business owner. Because I want you to understand, Danielle, every employee only goes to work to buy more time.
Mm.
That's it. You only go to work to buy time. And business ownership frees up more of your time. And so we definitely want to make sure people understand what's going on for the future. And of course, you have to create a digital stamp. They want everybody in the house so you can go where? Online.
Mm-hmm.
And create a digital stamp. And you're only going to receive your stimulus check if you have a what? Routing and account number.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a digital stamp in this country, they're going to create one. And you're going to create one because you're going to chase that $1,200 stimulus as a taxpayer, correct? But did you know they offer business owners $10 million, Danielle? $1,200 or $10 million, which one would you prefer?
Mm.
How about you understand that Rodney get both?
Whew.
Because I'm an essential employee because I hired myself. And then I'm an essential owner because I own a corporation. So I get the $1,200 and I can qualify up to $10 million in business. And those loans that they keep saying, they will be forgiven if you use them for business purpose. And so this is free money for the person who has positioned himself with the proper documentation. And that's my point. It leads right back to, it's just some information, Danielle. We need to get the information out to the people. If the people knew this information, they would position themselves instead of spending $50 on something that either unwanted or unneeded.
Man, Rodney K. Lamb of Truth Induced Financial, you have really, really, really induced some truth today. Like, lots of eye-opening concepts and things that I know that I'm certainly going to think about, especially as you said, like, this is changing. Everything is changing. Our digital experience is changing, and we have to emerge after this quarantine time. Everything is going to be different, and money is one of those things that is also going to be different.
When you say everything is going to be different after quarantine, and I want to stress on that, right now they are forcing you to live on less than you are used to, by force. And I mean privileges, if you notice what they're taking away. You have all your essentials, but you lost a lot of privileges. So they're forcing you to live on less. I say, get some money information, get a financial coach, and learn to live on less by choice and by design. And all of that extra that we used, those privileges money, how about you put that somewhere where it starts to compound interest for you so you can start to collect it? And this is what they really doing. And let's not forget, Danielle, everybody do their census, please, because they don't know how many people in the country. This is what's really going on.
Ooh, how can we connect with you? How can people learn more about Truth Induced Financial Incorporated?
Easy to get in touch with me. If you're listening to this, it's so easy. If you have a cell phone, if you have a smartphone, you just simply text RKL to the numbers 22828. Again, you text RKL to the numbers 22828. Or just visit us on the web, truthinduced.biz, B-I-Z. And so definitely make sure to reach out to me. Let's talk. I don't charge anything for the conversation. Like I say, I like to charge for just the labor. The information is free. I just want to be paid for the labor.
I know that's right. I appreciate you coming and sharing this knowledge, talking about money in America, how we can make better decisions, because we are empowered to make our own choices and our own decisions. In spite of the circumstances, we have the ability to make our choices. So when we have access to better information and more choices, we can make better choices.
You have made me smile today, ma'am. I have done my job.
Thank you so much, Rodney. And guys, thanks for listening. And I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah, have a great day.
All right, superstars, we are all out of time. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you love the show, make sure to subscribe, share, review the episodes, tag a friend, talk to me. Visit DanielleMoneyham.com and follow me on social media to stay connected. Your support means the world to me, so thank you for helping my dreams come true. A major lesson that I learned, that I continue to learn, is that although you will experience dark moments in your journey, you can be the light. You have more power than you know. Until we meet again, shine bright.